Well, before we get started, I just have to ask, did anybody see driving in this morning? Did anybody see the Sun Dogs?
Did you? Yes.
Good. Now, I didn't see it. It wasn't quite the pillar thing that it was before, but you could see the little Sun Dogs, the rainbows on each side. That was good. I've never seen those before. That's the third time just in this winter that I've seen that. So that's cool. Keep your eyes open to those things. Let's start off with a word from God. This is Psalm chapter 8. I'm going to look at verses 3 through 4. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I've told you guys before, I just love the fact. I am always encouraged. There's never a time that I go outside at night, or even during the morning, like this, when you see the Sun Dogs. You know, I never go outside, and when you see his creation, it can't help but humble you, and it can't help but make you just realize it doesn't matter what I'm facing. If he's holding all, he's holding everything together, here's the psalmist. He's speaking about the work of your fingers. When I consider the heaven, your heaven, and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. Listen, the psalmist doesn't know. He didn't know the extent of the things that we know and that we can see. He just saw the stars in the sky. He saw the planets and the moon and the sun. And that dazzled him, that God, the Creator, formed those things and held them all together. That dazzled him. We get to see so much more. We get to see through the telescopes and through all the technology. We can see the galaxies beyond our own galaxy. I told you guys there's that one, the Hubble Space Telescope has that one place that they pointed. They found that one darkest spot in the sky. So they said, here's a place in the night sky when it looks like nothing is happening, so let's aim the telescope there and see what's there. And if you're looking in that direction, basically the telescope is looking at a part of the heavens the size of your thumbnail. And you can see pictures. It's called the Deep Space Hubble Field, or the Deep Field Hubble, I don't know, something like that. But you can see that. Look it up. The Hubble Deep Space Field. Look that up. And they're taking a picture the size of this. And in that one picture, you see dozens and dozens, probably 40 or 50 galaxies. Within that one, the dark space, they found the darkest place they could. 50 or 60 galaxies. Each of those galaxies has a billion stars in it. And there's dozens. And that's in one small thing. We get to see that and understand that. How much more do these words then mean to us? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? He holds all those things in order. And yet what's most important to him is you and your life and what he has planned for you. That's just awe-inspiring. It's fabulous. Now, with that in mind, January 31st, which is this Wednesday, at 7:42 in the morning, what are you going to be doing? Thank you, someone new, yes. I hope what you're going to be doing is watching, because it's an event. It's a rare celestial, it's a really rare occurrence that's taking place. It's been in the news since before the start of this brand new year. It's such a rare occurrence. It's such a rare occurrence, it has four names. It's called the Super Blue Blood Moon. The Super Blue Blood Moon. Now, any time that an event, and a celestial event like this takes place, anytime something like this comes up, there's always somebody that rises up and they'll say that, well, this is a sign of the soon return. This is a sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's good for us. The Bible tells us that it's important for us to have our eyes always looking towards the return of Jesus. It's good for us to think about and to look towards the return of Jesus. But this is not that sign, okay? And I'll talk about that a little bit later on this morning. It's good for us to do that. But what I like about that, it's in the news. By Wednesday, you're going to hear a lot of people talking about the Super Blue Blood Moon. And because it's in the news, that affords me the opportunity to talk about it today. It gives me a chance to tell you about the moon and to talk about the moon and how the moon glorifies God and the things that we can learn, the biblical truths that are revealed to us by the moon itself. You can take anything in life, and if you look at it through the Word of God, there's always inspiration and there's always encouragement that's there for us. So we're going to spend some time looking at the moon. So to begin with, let's make sure that we all understand exactly, fully, what's going to be taking place this Wednesday morning at 7:42. and why it's such a rare and marvelous occurrence. So I just want to show you a couple of different things. First of all, let's look at the fact that it's going to be called a blue moon. It doesn't mean that the moon's going to be blue. That would be awesome, but that's not what's going to take place. It's not going to be blue in color. It's called a blue moon because a blue moon is a full moon that it's the second full moon in one calendar month. That's a rare occasion. That's why we say things when something's really rare. We'll say, well, that just happens once in a blue moon. It's because it's a very rare occurrence. In fact, to have two full moons in one calendar month only happens, on average, about once every 2.7 years. So what you're going to see on Wednesday, that's rare. It only happens roughly once every 3 years that you're going to see this. So it's a blue moon. It's also called a supermoon. A supermoon, it's a supermoon because a supermoon is when you take a full moon. It's important. It has to be a full moon. When you have a full moon that coincides with the moon's closest approach to the Earth in its orbit around the Earth, when you have that taking place, that's called a supermoon. Let me show you something. I want you to see a picture of this, at least a diagram. Nope, not that one. This would be the one with the being close to. So you're going to see in just a second, there's a picture. We always think about the moon, its orbit around the Earth, being a circle. And it's not really a circle. It's actually elliptical. So there are certain times when the moon is farther away from the Earth, and there's other times when it's close to the Earth. When it's really close to the Earth, it's called the perigee. And that's when a blue moon takes place. The moon is actually significantly closer to the Earth at those times. What's going to be taking place on Wednesday? On Wednesday, you're going to see the moon. It's going to look a whole lot bigger, and it's going to look a whole lot brighter because the moon is going to be so much closer, it's going to look about 14, it's actually going to be 14% larger in the sky, and it's going to be 30% brighter than normal. That is a significant difference in brightness. So that's a supermoon. It's coming closer to us. It's also called a blood moon. It's called a blood moon because it's taking place. What's going to be happening on a Wednesday is a total lunar eclipse. In a total lunar eclipse, what happens is you have, here's the sun, here's the moon. In a lunar eclipse, the Earth actually passes between the sun and the moon so that the sun's light rays cannot directly reach the moon. And so you just get a little bit of a picture of the moon. That's still not the one. So that is why it's called a blood moon. And it's called a blood moon because it's actually red or orange in color. Now, the color of the moon, the redness or the orange, that's actually caused by the fact that the sun's light is passing through the Earth's atmosphere. Now, if you remember, back in the fall, we talked about rainbows, which, by the way, that was one of the five favorite messages they preached this past year. So if you remember when we talked about rainbows, one of the things that we learned is that rainbows are a result of the sun's light actually passing through the atmosphere. And it's a result of the sun's light mixing or interacting with the water droplets that are in the Earth's atmosphere. That's what causes that rainbow effect. And so those water droplets in the Earth's atmosphere, they actually act like a prism. And you know, a prism splits up the light. So when the sunlight would come through those water droplets in the Earth's atmosphere, it would act as a prism, and all the sun's light is spread out into all those various colors that you see. So that's what's taking place in a blood moon. Now, I don't know if we can get this one. Is it possible to pull up that picture of the Earth with the little rainbow coming around the corners? I just want you to get a graphic picture of what this actually looks like. So picture again, you have the sun, you have the moon. During a total eclipse, what's taking place is the Earth is passing between the sun and the moon. And so what's taking place during a lunar eclipse, what's happening, is you have that sunlight, and the sunlight is actually coming around the corners of the Earth. It's actually refracting and bending the light. During a lunar eclipse, so there's the sun, the moon would be here. So during a lunar eclipse, you have that sunlight coming through. But let's look at that one you had just a few moments ago, if that's possible. So in this one, you can really see that what's happening is that sunlight is actually refracted. So the only colors that actually dimly reach the moon at all are the oranges and the reds. And so that's why what you're going to see during a lunar eclipse, and that's what you'll see to some degree on Wednesday morning, is the moon itself is going to appear to be an orange color. It's going to be either red or a burnt orange color. So that's what's taking place. Now, since our attention is going to be on the moon on Wednesday, and in fact, all through Monday, Tuesday, you'll probably hear about it today, Monday, Tuesday, up till Wednesday morning, our attention is going to be focused on this moon and on the super blue blood moon. Since our attention is going to be on that moon anyway, let's look at each of those three individual rare lunar occurrences that we're going to be witnessing on Wednesday morning. Because when we look at each of those three rare lunar events that are taking place, each of those events is going to reveal to us a biblical truth, something that shows us something about the Word of God and what the Word speaks to us about God. It reveals part of God to us. So we'll look at each one of those things. Now, since it's called a super blue blood moon, let's start with the word super. It's going to be a super moon. We just discussed what that was. So a super moon is basically, it's the physics of the moon which is in its orbit, its elliptical orbit around the world. It's a super moon because the moon is actually at its closest point to the Earth. It's at its closest proximity, so it's going to look so much bigger. It's going to look so much brighter. The moon is placed, think about this. We just read this verse from the very first verse. The moon itself is placed. Its place in the heavens is established by God. Doesn't matter what kind of physics people tell you. I'm telling you, the moon and everything in the universe is put in its place and held there by God. So the moon, the planets, the stars, all the galaxies of the universe, they are all held together, and they're all held in their place by the very hand of God. God holds them there. That's not just me telling you that. Listen to what it says in Colossians. This is Colossians 1:17, and you're going to hear this in the Amplified Bible. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. That means he holds everything together. All things consist, cohere, are held together. Everything is held together by the hand of God. This verse literally means that everything in this natural world is held together by Jesus and by his power alone. Without Jesus actively intervening, without Jesus being active in this natural world, nothing could exist. Without his active participation, nothing could exist. You think we take Jesus for granted in our lives? He literally is holding us together. So let's take that truth in the Word of God, that he holds everything together. Let's take that truth, which he said, and let's apply that to the subatomic level. Don't glaze over. It's going to be really simple. But let's take that to the subatomic level of our physical world. Because here's what physics teaches us. Physics teaches us that every atom, everything we know, you, me, everything that we see, it's all made up of atoms. Physics teaches us that every atom is held together by an unknown force called the strong nuclear force. Now, the strong nuclear force holds the nucleus of an atom together. The strong nuclear force literally keeps the nucleus from flying apart into total chaos. Look at this. We've all seen before. Think back to high school when you saw those diagrams. You know, just a picture of what an atom is like. You have the nucleus, and then you have, you know, the little electrons flying around it. So when you look at an atom, and you think about that nucleus, so in the center of the atom, you have that nucleus, which is made up of all kinds of little protons and neutrons. All right, so these little red and blue things, those are protons and neutrons. So the ones that are protons, every proton, now a nucleus can have 20, 30, even more elements inside of it. But when you see the protons and the protons that make up the center point, so let's say that the red ones are the protons, each one of those protons carries a positive electrical force. The neutrons, they're neutral, so they don't matter. Just think about this. If you have 1, 2, 5, 10, 20, if you have 20 protons in a nucleus, and each one of those protons is positively charged electrically, what's going to happen? They're going to repel each other, yeah. When you have like kinds, two protons that have an electrical charge, a positive charge, they're going to repel each other. By nature, there is absolutely no reason why an atom should hold together. Those protons should force it to be split apart in utter chaos. Think of it this way. Think about when you're back in high school. I have some magnets. So when you have magnets, if you take magnets, one end is always going to be negative, and one end is going to be positive. So this end is positively charged. Here's another magnet. If I have a negative charge here, so this is positive, this is negative, what's going to happen? They attract each other. Let's do the opposite. What's going to happen if I take this positive charge here, and I turn this around, and I try to put this positive charge next to this positive charge? So picture a proton and a proton. What's going to happen? It doesn't matter what I do, it's not going to go together. It's impossible to bring these things together. That's how protons should do the same thing. When you look at an atom, you think about an atom, there is absolutely no reason they should hold together. In fact, it is impossible for them to be held together. And yet, there is that strong nuclear force which holds together what is impossible to hold together. That's what the strong nuclear force does. And the strong nuclear force does that. Think about this. You talk about the immenseness of the universe. The strong nuclear force is holding together the nucleus of every atom in the entire universe. Without that force, there would be no structure to this natural world. There wouldn't be these chairs because there'd be nothing to hold it all together. Without that force, you, me, everything in the universe would fly apart in utter, total chaos. And yet the Bible says to us that God holds all things together. Everything that is, including you and me, everything that is consists in Him. Now, science tells us that that's the strong nuclear force which they cannot explain. The Bible tells us that is the power of Jesus Christ. So when you think and you see that moon on Wednesday morning, it's a super moon. And so it's talking to us about the physics of the moon. And so I want you to think about the physics of the moon, but think about the physics of everything in nature. It is God, and it is the power of God that holds everything, holds us together. And when you have that awareness, think back to that first verse that we read from the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8. He's saying, God, I look at the sun and the moon. And he's marveled at that so much. That's such an impressive thing. How is it that you even take time to think about me? And yet God thinks about you over all things. If he is holding you together like that, do you think for a moment he's not holding together your life? And so if you're battling sickness, or if you're battling emotional stress, or if, you know, whatever it might be that you're facing or battling today, it is absolutely nothing. He's already got it taken care of. If he is actively holding you together so that you don't fly apart into utter chaos, you think your life ever feels like chaos? No. Utter chaos would be if Jesus took his hand off you for just a second. You would literally fly apart in utter chaos. So that's the supermoon element that I want us to think about. If you get up at 7:42 in the morning on Wednesday, think about how close that moon is, and think about God is holding that moon together. He's holding that moon in its place. I have another picture of a supermoon I want you to see, because I just love the way this graphically shows how big the moon is going to be. This is a picture of a moon rising up over a road. And it's probably going to look something like this, because it's probably going to be a little bit dark. But the moon is going to appear to be huge when you see it on Wednesday morning, because it's a supermoon. God is holding it in its place. On Wednesday morning, when you see that supermoon and it appears so large and it appears so bright, stand in awe of your Creator God, who is holding all things together. And just like this moon, he's holding all things in place. And think about how Jesus is literally interacting with your life every moment, because every moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, year by year, century by century, and age by age, Jesus is holding, actively holding all things together, including you in your life. That's the beauty of seeing that supermoon on Wednesday. Now, the moon that we see on Wednesday morning is also going to be called a blood moon. It's a blood moon because what's going to be taking place on Wednesday is that lunar, that total lunar eclipse. During a total lunar eclipse, what always tends to happen, you're going to see the red and the orange because it's going to be that light that I described earlier. But as I also said at the very beginning, whenever something like this arises, there's always people that step up and they will say, well, this lunar eclipse or solar eclipse. Remember back in August this year, we had that big solar eclipse and basically all the United States could see partial. Some could see the full eclipse. You know, here we could see a partial eclipse. If you remember, even then, there was people that were coming out and they were saying, though, this is a sign. This is a sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Again, it's important. Don't get me wrong. It's important for us to be thinking about the return of Jesus. He's going to return first to meet us. But he is coming a second time, and the Bible does talk about those things. This is not that, though. What's going to be taking place on Wednesday is not that. The lunar eclipse that we're going to be seeing, the lunar eclipse of any blood moon, when we see those kinds of lunar eclipse, that's not the blood moon that the Bible is talking about in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. But as I said earlier, it does provide us an opportunity. It gives me the chance to at least think about and share with you some of the biblical truths that do come. What exactly does the Bible tell us? What does the Bible speak to us about what is going to be happening with the moon? What does the Bible tell us about the moon turning to blood? There's a number of verses, and probably the most prominent one is from the book of Joel. This is Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 30 and 31. And I will show you wonders in heaven and in the earth. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. This is pretty impressive, right? I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. This is all talking about the coming day of the Lord. Here it's called the great and awesome. Other places it's called the great and terrible day of the Lord. Listen, beyond question, these events are going to take place. But the blood moons that we see when we see a lunar eclipse, that's not the sign that the Bible is talking about. That's not what it's talking about at all. In fact, the Bible is very clear to us. The Bible says that the events of that great and awesome day of the Lord, the events of that great and awesome day of the Lord, those will be unquestionably recognized by the entire world. The world will see it and recognize it. So, let me show you a picture of a blood moon. You talk about blood moons, and it might not be as orange as this is, because what we're going to see is just a partial. Other places, it'll be a total lunar eclipse. But this is, we're going to see a partial lunar eclipse. So this is what a blood moon looks like. When they say blood moons, this is what you're probably going to see on Wednesday morning, something very close to this. That's really cool, right? But that's not the kind of thing that's going to make the whole world stop when they see that stop and say, oh, this is the great and terrible day of the Lord. They're going to look at it, they're going to say, oh, that's really cool. And then they'll go about their days. It's something different. When the Bible talks about the blood moon and all the things that take place with it, it's talking about something very specific. The world itself is going to recognize it and is going to know it. The prophet Isaiah talks to us about these things, these end time events. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse number 10, Isaiah says, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. This is what's going to happen. When the Bible talks about the blood moons and the second coming of Jesus Christ, it's not just going to be the blood moons. You're going to see that the stars themselves and all the constellations are no longer going to give their light. How freaky is that going to be to look up in the sky and see pitch black darkness? The sun will be darkened in its going forth. That means the sun is still there, but it's dark. And the moon will not cause its light to shine. Before the second coming of Jesus Christ, Before that takes place, the moon itself is going to be, the stars themselves will be darkened. And this is a fabulous picture. The sun is going to rise up, but it's going to be dark. How is that even possible? You will see the sun rising. The sun will rise, but it's dark. That is a supernatural occurrence that can only take place by the hand of God himself. That is a supernatural occurrence. That's not the natural occurrence of the blood moons that we see with the lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse is just a natural event. Again, it's when the earth passes between the sun and the moon, blocking its light, shading the sun's light from the moon. The first thing, the verse we read about, that is beyond question. That is clearly a supernatural event. The blood moon that we see on Wednesday, it's going to be cool. It should make us think about these words. It should make us think about the promises. It should make us think about the things of God and the things we're considering this morning. But it's simply a natural event. It's a quite natural event. Ezekiel talks to us about these things as well. I'm going to give you some. There's a lot of places. Ezekiel chapter 32, verse number 7. When I put out your light, so this is God talking about the lights, the celestial lights. When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and I will make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud and the moon will not give her light. So here we see that this is going to be the cloud of God. That means it is the very presence of God himself who is the one that is covering all the celestial lights. God himself is doing this. That is a supernatural occurrence. It's not just a natural occurrence, which is what a blood moon during a lunar eclipse. That's just a natural occurrence. It's a supernatural. It's not a natural like the lunar eclipse or like the lunar eclipses, which are often tied, and you've probably even heard this, lunar eclipses, which are oftentimes tied together in conjunction with certain stars or certain constellations. I've heard people talking about what's going to take place on Wednesday. I don't even remember what they said, but they were talking about how it's, since it's the blood moon that is coming up and it's rising through the constellation Virgo and all this different stuff, they were making this. I don't doubt that God can show you things in the heavens. But what I'm saying is that is a natural occurrence. This is something that is supernatural. When you read these things, in Joel and in the Old Testament, we're going to look at Jesus himself in just a second, says, when you read the things that the Word says about the blood moons and about all those last day events, those are unquestionably supernatural. It can only take place by the hand of God. And so the entire world is going to recognize and know exactly what is taking place and why. And that's why the Bible tells us that when the world sees that, the world who doesn't know Jesus is going to see all this, and they're going to hide in a mountain and beg for the mountain to fall upon them, to take them out of that moment. The world is going to recognize and know that this is the hand of God. So I said Jesus himself talks about these things. In Matthew 24:29, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. This is a supernatural occurrence. After the tribulation takes place, so after the tribulation, which John talks about, after the tribulation, and just as Christ Jesus is returning at his second coming, at that time, the moon is going to be darkened, the sun is going to be darkened, and the very stars in the sky are going to fall from the sky. That's pretty clear. So the next time that somebody shows you a lunar eclipse, blood moon, and they say, this means Christ is coming tomorrow or Wednesday morning, ask them, how come I can still see the stars in the sky? And how come I'm going to see the sun come up tomorrow? How come? And that verse that Jesus spoke, it also said, the powers of heaven themselves, the powers of heaven will be shaken. That sounds to me like Jesus. That's a time when Jesus is loosening his grip on his hold, his grip on holding everything together. That sounds like a time when Jesus is loosening his grip on holding all things together and holding all things in their place. Trust me. Every man is going to know exactly what's taking place during those times. and at those moments. This is what we see from that blood moon. So when you're looking on Wednesday morning, you see that blood moon, know exactly what it is, but also it should make us think about the second coming. He is coming back. And because he's told us these things and he's told us what to look for, he is coming back. That means we should have that passion. Sorry. We should have that passion to reach those people that are around us with the truth of Jesus Christ, because he is coming back. We know something that a lot of people in our lives do not know, and they need to know it. And then finally, we know that it's going to be this rare occurrence on Wednesday morning. It's going to be a blue moon. And as I said, blue moon doesn't mean it's going to be colored the color blue. I chose this picture because you see that the moon is white, but I like because the whole picture is blue. And it kind of makes me picture the importance of the color of blue. Because the color blue in the Bible, it symbolizes and it represents several things. But here's the most prominent thing that blue represents in the Word of God. It represents the actual physical sky and the heavens. So when we talk about a blue moon, when you speak about a blue moon should take our minds right back to the actual physical moon itself, the moon that is in the sky itself. Because the Bible has a lesson to teach us about the light that the moon gives us at night. And we read about that when we read in the book of creation. In fact, in the book of creation, we actually read about two lights. So let's look at that. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. So the greater light is the sun. The sun was given to govern the day. The lesser night was the moon. The moon is to govern the night and the darkness. So when you see on Wednesday morning, when you look up and you see that moon, when you see that moon and its closeness to us, how large it is and how bright it is, it should be a reminder to us of a very important spiritual truth that applies to our lives every single day. And to understand that, let's consider this. Think about the sun itself. The sun, because it's talking about the greater light and the lesser light, the sun and the moon, the sun actually produces its own light. The sun produces and gives light. The moon only reflects the light. It does not produce any light. It just merely reflects the light that the sun gives. That's all that the moon does. That's why we can still stumble around in the darkness of the moonlight at night. The moon's light doesn't give us the same kind of light. The moon only reflects the light. So here's the spiritual parallel that I want us to see. In our lives, we're either walking in the light of the sun, and I would say S-O-N, sun. We're either walking in the greater light of the sun, S-O-N, or we're walking in the light of the world, which is the darkness. We're either walking in the light of the sun or we're walking in the light of the world. The light of the world is merely reflected light. So we can still stumble around. I can still stumble through reflected light. So every day in our lives, every single day, my eyes are either on Jesus or my eyes are on the things of the world. Now, if my eyes are on Jesus, I am walking in his light. And so I'm walking into every victory that he's established and prepared for me. I'm walking into his light regardless of what things look like. But if my eyes are on the world, I'm only seeing the reflected light. I'm walking in the things of the world. I'm still walking. I'm stumbling through the darkness. And so I'm blindly taking paths of the wrong paths in my life. And this results in defeat, frustration, and discouragement in my life. So we can think about the greater light, the sun, that light of Jesus Christ in our lives. We think about the lesser light. The sun rules the day, the moon, merely reflected light. We can still stumble through the darkness. What is my choice? Well, as we're thinking about that, let's move ahead into the New Testament. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is verses 17 through 19. And again, for reasons of wanting to see the fullness of what this is speaking of, I'm going to show this to you in the Amplified Bible. Ephesians 1, verses 17, 18, and 19. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know. Listen, I want to walk every day with my eyes firmly on Jesus Christ. I want to walk in the light of the sun, S-O-N. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He has called you, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set-apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. That is a lot. But just think about what all's being said there. Having the eyes of your heart flooded with the light of Jesus, we can understand all these things. We can know those things. Because His Spirit dwells in my spirit, in your spirit, as a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, because His Spirit dwells in your spirit and in my spirit, I can then choose to open up my mind, my soul, my mind, my thoughts to His Spirit that is in me. Then my mind is flooded. It is illuminated with His wisdom, with His revelation. I get to truly know who He is. And this knowing is a very intimate knowing. And in that knowing of Jesus Christ, I can then understand the unlimited greatness of His power in this life. And understanding that, I can then live in His supernatural power, and I can live in His supernatural deliverance as His light floods through my soul. That's how we can live. That's how He wants us to live. If my mind is not on Christ, but my mind is on the things of the world, then I'm only seeing things through the deceptive light of the enemy. If my mind is not on Christ, I'm only seeing things in the world. And so I'm only seeing things through the deceptive light of Satan, because it is merely reflected light. Satan has no light. All Satan can do is take the light of truth. He takes that light and he reflects it through his own perverted, deceptive lies. And he does that for the purpose of confusing us and deceiving us. This is why that lesser light, it is the lesser light that is given to the night. It governs the night. It governs the darkness. If my mind is on the things of the world, all I'm seeing is the darkness of night. Our eyes need to be always steadfastly on Jesus, seeing the pure light of Jesus Christ. Because His light, just like the light of the sun, His light gives us life, it gives us light, and it gives us the warmth of His presence, because He is ever and forever in us, in our lives, and in us. It's the difference between the greater light and the lesser light. So let me give you one final observation about the super blue blood moon that's going to be taking place on Wednesday. If you look at that moon on Wednesday morning, you're going to be seeing that moon. That moon is going to be magnified in your vision by 14%. It's going to be 14% larger. It's magnified in your vision. It's going to be 30% brighter. But here's the thing, given everything we just said, symbolically, as you're there and you see the brightness of the moon, symbolically, that is our reminder that I don't want to be magnifying the lesser light of the moon in my life. I don't want to be magnifying the lesser light of the world and the deceptions of the world. I want to be magnifying the greater light of Jesus Christ. I want my soul to be flooded with His light every single day. And the Bible tells us that we can magnify Jesus in our vision every day. We can magnify Jesus in our lives. And here's how we do it. This is in Psalm 69, verse number 30. And it ties very directly to what Jeff was sharing before praise and worship this morning. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. I'm either looking at the world. Tomorrow, you can go out and you can look at whatever the problems are that face you. And you can look at those things. You can look at the lesser light of the things of this world. And you can magnify those things. And if you magnify those things, trust me, I know, it's easy for me to then begin to obsess on those things. Or I can choose to magnify the light of Jesus. I can magnify the greater light of Jesus in my life. I do that when I go out tomorrow, even today. If you leave here today and there's problems you're faced with, rather than magnifying the problems, give thanks to Jesus. Thank Him, because if He is holding you together, if He is actively every moment holding you together so you don't fly apart physically into total chaos, if He's holding you together, He's already taken care of. Whatever your problem is that you're looking at, He's already taken care of. So we magnify that by focusing our thanks and our praise, thanking Him even before you see it done. You thank Him, praise Him. Jesus, thank You for these things. Thank You for my healing. Thank You for my deliverance. Thank You for my job. Thank You for my finances. Thank You for whatever it is you're faced with. Thank Him. You are magnifying Jesus and that greater light of Jesus in your life. You're magnifying Him. Praise Him, because your praise and your thankfulness of your heart, it magnifies Jesus, so His light, that greater light of Jesus, floods your entire soul. Get up on Wednesday morning and look at that super blue blood moon and let it remind you of all the things that the moon should show us, all of these things that we've looked at, because it always takes us back to the faithfulness of Jesus, to the power of Jesus, and to focusing our eyes on the greater light of Jesus Christ so it can fill my soul with His light. Amen? So this was a good day for us to have communion. Because here's what I want to do. As we're taking communion, why do we do communion? Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of Him. What are we remembering? We're remembering the fact that as an individual, each one of us in this life, sin is in our lives. When we came, before we accepted Jesus Christ, we were dead in sin. But because Jesus gave His life, Jesus offered Himself as the perfect sacrifice, there has to be a sacrifice. Sin requires a punishment. Sin requires death. It's either my death or Jesus gave His life as the perfect sacrifice for each one of us. And that's why He said, do this in remembrance of me. So what did Jesus do when He did that? He first gave the cup. He said, this is my blood shed for you. Drink it in remembrance of me. So when we partake together in the blood, here's what we're thinking. Here's what we should be remembering. Jesus Christ gave His blood because before I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I was dead to sin. But when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, my sin was washed away because He paid the price for it. I did not have relationship with the Father because sin separated me from that relationship. But when I accepted Jesus Christ because of His blood, I have and you have a restored relationship with the Father. That means everything that the Father has planned for your life, I can now have, you can now have. And then He said, this is my body broken for you. It's the bread. He is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread. Jesus tells us He is the Word. So because we have this restored relationship with the Father, now I can eat the bread. I can eat the promises. I can consume. I can have His promises. Every one of His promises in the Word, I can have them in my life, and so can you. This is what we're remembering. It's the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So what I want us to do, I'm going to break the bread. I'm going to give thanks. And then I'm going to have you guys come up. And Don, if you can play the music a little bit louder than normal, because here's what I would suggest. I want you guys, when you're sitting down, we're going to come up. Everybody take an element, go to your seats, and then wait until everybody has served themselves, and then we'll all partake together. But as you're sitting there and as you're waiting, I want you to think, just start giving thanks to God. Thank Him. This magnifies Jesus Christ in our lives. It brings, I want you to have that greater light of Jesus Christ flooding your soul So whether it's quietly in your own mind, or whether it's quietly thanking him in a low voice, or if you want to loudly thank him with praise and song, whatever it is, but spend the time thanking him for all he's done, and let him remind you of the things he has done and he is doing, so you can just continue to be thankful and let that light, that greater light of Jesus Christ, flood our souls. Amen? So Jesus with his disciples broke the bread and gave thanks. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for what you've done. We praise you for the gift of salvation. We praise you for your love, which is what motivated you to come and become this flesh and to give your life for us. We thank you and praise you. I praise you, Jesus, for everything you've done in my life. I praise you for the things that I haven't even yet seen in my life. I praise you for the things you have planned for my life, that my life brings glory to you, that your name is lifted up and exalted. I thank you for the marriage that you've given me. I thank you for the opportunities you've given me to serve you. I thank you for these people that are here, and you allow me the honor of being able to share with them the Word of God. I thank you for the lives you've allowed me to share the Word with. I thank you for your healing that you've done in my body and you'll continue to do. I thank you and I praise you for all the things that you have seen in my life, that you have already established and prepared in my life. Even the things I've not yet seen, but I know you have, I thank you and I praise you for them. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as we partake together, hear the words of each one of us individually thanking you and praising you for your goodness, for your love, for your tenderness, for your gentleness, for seeing us, for seeing our needs, and for always meeting our needs, and for having a plan for our lives that each one of us can bring glory to your name. We praise you and thank you for all these things. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen. Why don't you guys come on up, serve yourselves, and then we'll wait for everybody, and we'll partake together.